NGU0TR. NGU. Get up. Good morning, Phil. How you doing this morning?
Doing good. I'm on Highway 9. I passed somebody's nice poodle dog that got in the way of a car, and then a mile up the road is a whopper of a buck that got hit. So these animals need to stay out of the way, unfortunately.
Heard on Fox News Local, there was one hit this morning someplace. I can't remember where it was at, but it was blocking traffic, actually. They're moving a lot right now. I see them out in the backyard quite often.
Wasn't that funny about seeing the picture I sent you with the raccoon on a wild boar? We're riding a wild boar.
Yes. Did I send you that picture of the son-in-law, the wild boar he got day before yesterday?
No, and I'd like to see it.
Done, by golly. 600 pounds up in Tennessee.
Oh, my. That's a lot of bacon. Well, they tell me that's the best eating, but you really have to prepare it well because it's not, you know, farm-raised. There's a trichinosis danger there on a wild one. But, man, I bet that is will be some fine eating.
Hal Freitag is her last name, and that's Shelley's husband, our daughter, was invited to go on this hunt with a friend of his that lives just over the border here in North Carolina. That I think they'll probably run over and visit him at Christmas. And they had one guy back out of a hunt, and they called Hal and asked him if he'd like to go, and he went down there, and he got it with a handgun that I had given him several years ago. It's a beautiful handgun, and the ammunition I loaded for him, so I was kind of proud of that.
Well, that's a wild boar.
Boar, and got it with a .357 Magnum.
Heard stories about how they'll charge you, and that's incredibly dangerous. I tell you, that's those two pictures, that's incredible. That makes me scared to walk in the woods in Tennessee.
I think in the low country, I'd almost be scared to walk in the woods. I guess they got them down there. I've never seen one in the wild, and I really don't care to. But even Bernice, being a farmer, she said, man, that's a whopper.
A guy that, he looked like a mountain man with the hair. I don't think he knew what a razor was. And he'd go up on the weekends and hunt stuff like that. And, I mean, he knew his way around. He knew how to protect himself and all this stuff. And he could tell you some tales that would make your hair stand on end, even what little I got about wild boars. And one that big, that's just plain deadly. That's not just scary. That's deadly. He said they'll go halfway up a tree and just fall back. They don't care. If they want to get you, they're going to get you.
I sent you a family shield just now that you can make into a family shield when you see it. It's one of my favorites I keep on the wall down here. well, they call them a family crest. Oh, yeah, they're mean. I remember when I was a little kid, we went hunting up at Bannerman's. And Bannerman was the Banner milkman that brought glass jars of milk into our little grocery store when I was a kid back in the 50s. And we went across the road to this farmer and was talking to him, and I don't remember the reasoning behind it, maybe to go hunting and get permission there too. And he had a boar, out in the lot. And he said he'd take an arm off in a second. He says, you do not want to step into that area. And it was huge. It was a boar. Now, this was a sow, I think, that Hal got, but they're still terrifically mean. I guess they reproduce like crazy.
You know, I've heard stories that the mafia and others would dispose of bodies that way, that they'll eat anything.
Of which I've had none. Would they, Bernice? I suppose they would, wouldn't they? Just about. Well, I got to leave in about 4 minutes, Phil. I got to go get a blood draw down here at Dr. Lawrence's. And all I did so far is go out and get the paper and can't eat or drink until I go down there. And I hope it's just a blood draw. Because I just went and did the other minute ago, and I don't know if I can go back within 30 minutes. But nature has its way. Did you get that family crest I sent you?
Yeah, I like that. Oh, me. Well, my dad is 90 today, and my wife is just a young thing, still in her 50s. Her birthday is today, too, so... big day for me. You get your blood drawn, and we'll catch you a little bit further down the log, W4NGU.
Great to hear you. I'm looking out the front window here. We've seeded and fertilized and aerated, and the grass is really starting to look beautiful. And the fescue and Bernice's rose that I bought her for Mother's Day up in Kansas has got, I don't know, 7 or 8 huge, big, beautiful blooms on it out there this morning. So it's quite a pretty sight. And the sun's coming up. 55 degrees here. And we got a 2-mile-an-hour southeast wind. Have a good day, Phil. Maybe I'll catch you on the run down there. It takes about 10 minutes. This is N0 TR clip.
And it's supposed to be 84 to 87 today. See you, W4, never give up. KN4VWA, W4NGU. UE, W4NGU.
U, N0TR, Wolf.
I'm still here.
Congratulations on your dad being 90. The way I felt lately, I don't think I want to live that long. But, maybe my back will fuse together or something on its own. Who knows? But it's either that or get a new hip, and I don't want to go near a hospital right now.
Well, I got a long week. I had a men's Bible study I go to on Monday nights, a multi-church thing, and that's a good thing, and I like that. Then tonight I'll be at my dad's house celebrating his birthday. And then tomorrow I got orchestra practice after work. Then Thursday we'll have a little cake and coffee just around the house for Teresa's birthday. I'm going to take her off on a little weekend excursion. And then Friday morning I got to go to Top Golf with some guys. And, I guess that'll be fun. But long week, Tom. I'm just a young fella. I've got the strength for it.
I'm glad somebody does. That's wonderful. That Top Golf thing, it'd be fun just to go over there and see that. Wow, those towers around that thing are just incredible. I guess it's a real popular thing to do.
Yeah, they're real proud of it. I've only been 2 or 3 times, and somebody paid the first time I went. This is kind of a work function, so I don't really have much choice. And we got a group rate, but they are real proud of it, and their food as well. And it's okay food, but Dad Byrne, you can throw down. You're gonna leave them some money if you go over there.
I'm not too surprised. The kind of folks that do that ride around in $5,000 or $10,000 golf courts and carts. It's a little out of my pay grade, but More power to them if they enjoy it, and it keeps their muscles moving and that. Boy, I'm telling you, I get up in the morning, first thing I got to do is put on ice on my back, and that's no pleasure at all, and it's been waking me up in the night. And that's definitely not a pleasure, but I don't think there's much they can do, Phil. It's just deteriorated. 50 years of on my feet and on the concrete and doing maintenance.
You struggle with that. I'm sorry about that. Concrete floor will take its toll, apparently. My grandfather was a barber for a long, long time in the Spartanburg area. He was in Valley Falls for years, and then he was in the Montgomery building downtown, which they've just renovated nicely, and somebody else has opened a barber shop in there. They got a big pair of shoes to fill. But he always had leg and back problems from standing his whole career, even though he wasn't lifting big weights, just standing on a hard floor and not being seated. That's, he did that, and then left for that.
I don't know if I took the right way or not. I usually go down 101. I went 14 this morning, but we'll see. Quite a bit of traffic anymore. Never used to be any traffic up here. Sound like you went into a little bit of a hole up there. But you'll probably coming out of it in a second, Phil.
Going through the Campobello hole where that ball field used to be. You know where I'm talking about on 11.
11 has a lot of ups and downs, but boy, that's a beautiful drive in of a morning, I'll tell you. But this is pretty down here. Going 14, you go across Lake Cunningham, and the little dam there on this side of it. You go right past that. You can't look at it very much when you're driving, but you do get a little flash of it. Well, there was quite a bit of DX on there yesterday evening for a while, and it sort of disappeared. I didn't go back down after I went up time we got around. It was probably close to 8 o'clock, and so time I showered and that, it was too late to go back down and get on the radio. But, I talked to an old friend in Slovenia that I talked to many times on Morse code, he mentioned, and all the Russian just for the fun of it, and a few others. But there was the propagation, and then I got that Conway Reef, which is one I didn't have, so that'll make 301. It said he used Logbook of the World. I got Comoros Island again a couple of days ago when KI4DOS was here on 12 meters. But you got to send for a card and all that, and I don't want to mess with it.
It was yesterday, several of the guys said that 12 and 10 was hot. I got licensed in February of 70 as a novice, and I mean 10 meters was red hot. If you had anything that would transmit at all, you could talk just about anywhere.
I always kind of avoided 10 meters. I don't know why. So I only got 98 countries on that one. I got all the rest of the bands except 160 and 10 meters. That's disgusting. Because I could have had it easy. If you could talk 5 watts, you could talk on a CB all over the world. But if you hear 10 meters coming up again, well, give me a text. I'd like to get those too, and then the only thing I'd have to work on would be 160, which is a winter band anyways. Well, I see we got a Stanley steamer here in the line of traffic here on 14. Oh, no, he's vaping.
I'm surprised how many people do that. Sunday we went to Lake Bowen Fish Camp. They got a meet in 3 that's really good. It's $9.99 including the drink. and they got a bunch of different entrees and stuff. It's not fish. And we came out, and I didn't even see the guy. I don't even know how far away he was, but I could smell smoke. And I commented to the group, isn't it funny how sensitive we've gotten to smoke since we don't smell it like we, you know, everybody's not smoking around us near as much as in the old days. I didn't even know where the guy was, and I could tell he was smoking.
Yeah, we're overly sensitive. Whoa, they're building a new addition down here on 14 just before this stoplight down here around Vaughn's meatpacking company. They got all the timber tore up back in there. Pretty soon we're not going to have any timber left at all. It's disgusting. But that's the way it is. If you got a square foot of land, sell it and let them build on it. But, I don't know how I lived through it, but it definitely probably had an effect on my lungs, that and flying. But my dad smoked 4 packs of Cool Regulars a day there at the last, my mom told me.
Thinking about a ham you wouldn't know, Tom, from this area, Earl Brandon. I was thinking about him this morning for some reason, and he died of cancer, and he lit one cigarette with the next one. And he was fun to talk to, lived over in the Overbrook community of Greenville. And every Sunday afternoon he would cook, I might exaggerate and maybe not, it seemed like to me it was 50 sausage patties. I mean, he just turned his kitchen into a little production area, and all week long he'd eat sausage biscuits and smoke one cigarette after another, and I guess all that wound up to being his number.
Well, you know, almost all of those old movie stars, the Marlboro Man, Steve McQueen, Sammy Davis Jr., I can just think of just one after another died from cancer from smoking. But the lady next door to us, the family we really loved so much, she had cancer in the eye and had to go to Duke and have one eye removed. And they told her, you got to quit smoking. You'd be lucky to live 5 years. And she changed smokes still to this day.
Well, I called a friend of mine, had a quadruple bypass. I caught him in a restaurant eating fried chicken. I said, what do you think you're doing? He said, man, I'm not going to live long enough for this to get me now, so I'm just going to go ahead and enjoy it. I guess that's one way to think about it.
It's two different worlds. I've been in many thoracic wards and had 4 lung surgeries, and I'll tell you, if you pay temperature from that, you don't want them. You're sticking them chest tubes in you and cutting you in half and all of that. It's a bad situation. If they knew what they had to go through to live through it, it's just an unbelievable amount of pain. But they don't, and they don't care, and there's no use talking to them because you just lose a friend. My best friend, when we was kids, if we'd sneak a cigarette, I'd give it to Tobe, and now Tobe, he has COPD.
Thing is hearing loss. My dad, we're having a time with him trying to get the hearing aids at work, and I got him one of those caption phones that's got a real loud speaker phone in it. You can get them free. It's the best deal around. And now we can talk on the phone pretty good. But he shot a bazooka in the war, so he's got a right to have a hearing loss. But these kids, you pull up beside them, and the bass is rattling every car around them. You know, they don't understand what's going to happen when they get older.
I met one in Joppa, Missouri one time, and on the windshield, I think it said 122, or no, it said more than that, 160 dB, something like that. It was unbelievable. And I waited until he come out of the store there, and I said, Son, you can't bear that much audio in that thing. I said, that would bust your windows out. And he says, come with me. And he walked around to the, I think it was the front window, either the front or the back. The whole back seat was speakers. And the window was actually broken from the acoustic sound, Phil. And I said, you're not going to be able to hear your grandchildren. Well, that's the way it is. They just don't care. Don't you just love to pull up beside one of those idiots with their stereo blaring crummy music out?
And they just don't get it. They just don't get it. But it will catch up to them.
Had more loss. The trumpet section sat right behind us. And you know in college how they are. Whew. I'd have to tone them down a little bit now and then because, man, it was just deafening. Well, what are you playing in orchestra tonight? I'm not too far from my destination. Or what are you practicing?
I'm starting new with this orchestra tonight, and I'm going to carry my flugelhorn. They don't have one, and which is just about a trumpet anyway, a little more mellow. It's larger diameter pipes and all that stuff. I just like the sound of it a little bit better than trumpet. It's a little easier to play. It takes maybe a little more air but less pressure, and so that's what I'm playing tonight, is flugelhorn, and I hadn't played it in a good while. I meant to have had the mouthpiece with me today messing with it, but anyway, we'll see what happens.
Lawrence Welk, Sunday, always wants that Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, I think it is, if I remember it. And there was a guy on there that had a, it looked like a piccolo trumpet, but it was much fatter than a piccolo trumpet. And I thought of you. I thought, well, I know that's not a flugelhorn, but I just wondered what that was, because I've never seen one quite that chunky, I guess you would say.
Oh, if it wasn't a piccolo trumpet, there's so many variations on those things. I've got a friend that has taught trumpet all his life. It's all he's ever wanted to do. Man, I wouldn't want to have to put up with collecting all those lesson fees and schedules and all that stuff. He loves it, but he's got a trumpet collection that's really enviable. That's his thing. And in Christmas programs, he brings his piccolo trumpet and plays those real high parts and some of those classic songs, and it really sounds good. But man, his neck bows out like a barrel,
and they turn cherry red when they're doing it. Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, what pieces are you playing flugelhorn in tonight? And then I got to run in. I'm backing into the parking place, Bill.
I asked him to send me some music ahead of time. He did not. I'm going to be sight reading. I have no idea what I'm sitting down to. Isn't that fun?
No. They used to do that to us, and they'd in the horn section, they'd throw out pieces that had to be transposed, and I never did that in high school. Oh, do I have to work to do those? I mean, they'd throw you out a piece in the key of C, and it was just, you know, and your horn was built in the key of F, and you had to transpose it, and some of them, the key of E, I think you had to add 7 flats, and oh, it was beyond my pay grade. And they had a lot of professors in there, though. Phil, got to run. I just backed in the doctor's office. Good talking to you. Enjoy that music. I loved it. W4NGU and 0TR73.
See you, Tom. I don't transpose. If they want me, give me a piece of music with what you want me to play. W4 Never Give Up.